many of us even remember that there was a devastating earthquake in Nepal a little over 3 years ago? Life goes on for those of us not directly impacted by these kinds of tragedies, but the nightmares live on in places where tragedy strikes. Our guest today is going to share with us her story after a recent building trip to Nepal. Habitat Tucson CEO T. Van Hook saw firsthand how the devastation from the 2015 earthquake reached far and wide. Thousands perished and 3.5 million people were left homeless. But while so many people were left with virtually nothing, T was struck by their tremendous generosity of spirit. The people of Nepal, in partnership with Habitat for Humanity, were ready to do the work of transforming people's lives, and so the rebuilding began and keeps on going. T believes that by sharing in both directions, we can fight the global housing crisis and help people across the globe and in our local community lead lives that are stable, self-sufficient, and thriving. Let's find out just what's happening. Hello, everybody. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and we're going to get down to earth to learn about the global housing crisis and Tucson and what's happening from Nepal to Arizona. Please join me in welcoming T. Van Hook, the CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson, who is absolutely no stranger to Mrs. Green's world, and her work continues to inspire us. Today will be no exception, I can promise you that. T, it's great to have you here again, and you know how interested I am on the international think globally, act locally conversation, and we're going to have one today, and it's exciting.
Well, thank you for having me. I always love to be here.
In spite of both of us recovering from bad colds, I may have sounded a little bit quiet, but I want to make sure that I don't start any coughing. But here we are doing the good work. And before we get started, I have a very quick tip from another great partner of Mrs. Green's World, Tucson Electric Power. And it's all about saving energy and money. And who doesn't want to hear a tip like that around the holidays? This is such a simple one, and I hope people rush out and do it. For electric water heaters, install a timer that can automatically turn the hot water off at night and on in the morning. A simple timer can pay for itself in less than a year. Why would anyone not want to do that? And I hope all of you do. More easy money-saving tips can be found by visiting TEP.com. So thanks for sharing that with us, TEP. And T, as much as I want to just dive into the trip and hear everything that you experienced there, let's start with the big question. Tell us what you do at Habitat Tucson and why it matters. What gets you up every day, inspires you and your team of really hardworking people to keep on doing the good work?
Well, I know it sounds just like our mission, but we really are bringing people together to build homes, community, and hope. And here in Tucson, we're on our 38th year of doing that. Tucsonans have been coming out to build houses, do housing rehab for people who own their homes, and really trying to solve the housing crisis here in Southern Arizona. And we're excited to be doing that. Right now, we're working in three neighborhoods. We're closing out Copper Vista 2, which we've been working on 66 homes on the south side of Tucson. We're this year going to close out Copper Vista, two of those 66 homes, Desert Vista, 10 more homes near that neighborhood. We've been working Midtown on Literacy Connects, where we've just raised the walls on 9 more homes, two-story homes, right in the Amphi neighborhood, and we're excited about that. And we're getting plans together for 19 new homes that we're going to be doing in Flowing Wells. We're working on a property purchase there that'll be closed by the end of the year, and we're excited about that with the help of our partners at the Tucson Foundations. We're purchasing that property. So we've got a lot going on. We're doing housing rehab for veterans. We're doing housing rehab for elderly so they can age in place, and doing a lot of community projects. We're working in the Amphi neighborhood. We're working in the Flowing Wells neighborhood. We're doing a lot, and we're really excited that Tucson's supporting us in that.
And for people who are listening from around the country, the areas that you mentioned are, in many cases, lower socioeconomic areas, sometimes higher crime areas. And my observation, having been here 43 years, is to me, Habitat is another example of the pebble in the pond. You drop the pebble in the pond, you put in some really great homes with massive, massive community support. Chapman, we did another home build a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday. And there's magic that happens there also for the people who are doing it. You know, you think you're going to do this really good work and you end up having such a great day, you almost feel guilty because it was so much fun making a difference. So there's a whole capacity team building thing. You had an unbelievably successful World Habitat Build Day. So to have you here, and I wish people could see your face, someday maybe 2019 we'll have the video component to this, but when you work with Habitat people and all the people that showed up that day from your team that were there, they're the real deal. And they're there to make a difference. And it doesn't, like you say, okay, we're going to build homes for 23 families. That's hundreds of people's lives that are impacted because getting a home gets people out of poverty forever.
Oh, it does.
It ends the cycle.
So, it ends the cycle. And it's generational change. You know, I was just the guest speaker at University of Arizona's Banner Health for their, I did grand rounds for their medical students. And one of the things we talked about is not how it only changes the lives of the families that move into the houses, but it changes the lives of our regular volunteers that come out. We have a whole group of men and women that come on a regular basis that are in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they've built a community of builders. So when you say, when you're around the Habitat people, we have a huge core of regular volunteers that come out, and you've worked with them, and there are crew leaders, there are regulars that are out 3, 4, 5 days a week building alongside our staff, and they take lead positions. They're retired executives, retired tradesmen, you know, retired folks from around the country, some that just come here as winter visitors, some that build with us year-round, and their longevity is really a testimony to that positive daily routine that's created by coming out and doing something to help community, to work alongside our home buyers, because the folks that build, live in our Habitat homes, build alongside the community to build their own homes. They have that investment of sweat equity. And it's transformative for not only the community, but for those involved in the process. And we're proud of that model. And that's why we've been such a mainstay here in Tucson for 38 years and around the country for 45 years. It's really a win-win for the community, for the individuals getting the houses, and for people that are investing their time and their talent, and those that maybe can't pick up a hammer, but they can offer their treasure. Not everyone has the physical ability, but people can find a way to contribute in their own way.
And you have the example, we were talking about it with the recent death of George Bush. Among our favorite presidents was Jimmy Carter. He was the most kind, gentle, talk about civility, and they basically ate his lunch because he was almost too kind. And to me, he's one of America's greatest presidents, and guess who's still building?
Well, he's quite a statesman, and President Carter and Mrs. Carter, Jimmy and Rosalynn, there's a build in their honor every year, and that's a great segue to Nepal, because the Nepal Recovery Act is really being completed in their name. The Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter project in Nepal has been a great benefactor to the recovery in Nepal, and I was excited and really honored to be one of 9 U.S. CEOs that was there on a little legacy trip to see the work that's being done, and certainly the Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter Fund has been a great contributor to that.
It's a big, big, big pebble in a big, big, big pond. But before we jump into Nepal, which I really want to do, you're not just, you know, we had World Habitat Day, but you're also part of a national learning cohort. You mentioned AMFI a couple of times. So tell us about that. What is that all about?
Well, we're one of 10 neighborhoods, or AMFI is one of 10 neighborhoods in the country that's been chosen to study longitudinally to see what the habitat intervention is doing to really break the cycle of poverty and how we can bring resources in within the neighborhood together to look at how we can change the face of a neighborhood. I like to say that all neighborhoods have a life cycle, just like human beings, just like all things have a life cycle, like your interest in the rainforest and the life cycle
there.
So we're really studying that neighborhood. And, you know, AMFI was once a kind of rural outskirt of Tucson.
And it's hard to believe because now it is not.
It is not. And it's such a kind of microcosm. In Tucson, it has the lowest rate of home ownership. So it's really prime for us to come in there and help increase that number, help with the homes that are there that are aging. You know, the home ownership that is there is older homes, 40s, 50s, 60s, help the existing homeowners kind of get a little facelift. It's got a really wide mix. I think there are 20-some languages spoken in the neighborhood.
There are a lot of refugees and immigrants in that area, right? I remember that from the refugee resettlement days. That was a place that we did a lot of refugee resettlement for the Vietnamese, Laotians, and Cambodians, and that's like over 35 years ago.
Absolutely. And now Central Africa, a lot of South Sudanese and other African refugees are there. And there's Literacy Connects has put their beautiful facility there in one of the oldest Lutheran churches in Tucson. Their congregation moved and Literacy Connects moved into that space. We purchased the land next to it for 9 new homes. And so there's a great synergy happening. Amphi High School is there, and we're excited by the collaboration that we have with them and the IRC, which is the Refugee Support
International Organization. International Refugee Center, I think.
And then, so we're assisting with a community garden there, and we have several corporate sponsors that are helping, private sponsorship of those homes. And so we're really starting a great synergy and helping to take some long-term data with the Poverty Center at the University of Arizona and seeing how, when we bring resources to a neighborhood that's really at the bottom of its downswing, how different interventions or different ideas and bringing people together to listen to what the neighborhood wants. This isn't about Habitat or any other agency coming in and saying, this is what we think you need.
Yeah, we're going to solve your problems for you because these are what we think they are, and it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. This is about asking the neighbors, what do you need and how do we come in and support what your ideas are, or how do we build capacity for you? We aren't a matriarchy or at Habitat. We are a support agency. Again, we bring people together to build. And then we'll see how, after helping them build capacity, when we step away, how they're able to manage themselves.
And here's what I love about it. I am all over this integration of thought, integration. You know, people say, well, why don't you just focus on a couple of things when it comes to global warming? And I say, I do. And they say, what is it? And I say, the planet, because everything is connected to another thing that's connected to another thing. And by partnering with Literacy Connects and by partnering with corporate sponsors and by asking the neighborhood, starting with the end in mind and the respect for their vision, to me is a recipe for success. And things like, my background in social services informs me about this, but when you have, a high crime rate, there's usually a connection to a high vacancy rate because people are very mobile, and that's not always a good thing. It's not stable. When you have people that aren't homeowners, it's another thing. It impacts school performance when kids are constantly being pulled and moved out of school. So this is an anchor. A home gives stability. And Laura, St. Laura, that works for you.
Yes.
I should give her a shout out on every show because Kelly calls me and say, why can't we find more Laura Sanchez's? And I said, I don't know, but we can't take that one. She provided us with a quote from the Amphi Neighborhood Association president, Maureen Haslett, and she said, one of the things the neighbors of Amphi want most is permanent housing. So you're giving them that.
Absolutely.
And that will change the world. Okay, I have been a really good person, and I've waited about Nepal. Not only did you go, you went with John Armstrong, whose interview about Bangladesh I talk about and talk about and talk about because it was devastating to me. He painted such a very real, emotional, upfront, raw picture of what it's like in Bangladesh. And then I find out he's going to Nepal with you. And I had FOMO because I'm like, well, somebody should have been along to do all of the social media, the reporting, the podcast online, but, on the scene. So why did you go? How did you come about going? Just share away about Nepal.
Absolutely.
What you saw.
Well, I was invited to go to Nepal, and it was a very exciting trip. We saw some, we were in four different areas of Nepal, and it was breathtaking. The natural landscape is the most beautiful, lush landscape I've ever seen in my life. You go from sea level to the highest peaks on Earth, and it just breathtaking. The color of the earth, the dirt, the greenery. It's spectacular. The people are so beautiful. The generosity was unbelievable. It's also one of the most crowded spaces I've ever seen in my life.
I cannot even imagine.
Those little motorbikes and mopeds and vehicles everywhere in the city of Kathmandu. We landed in Kathmandu, stayed there for a couple of days. We were able to tour many of the temples, the Temple of the Monkeys, and we saw many of the cultural sites for the first 2 days to really get an idea of the belief system of the people. It was just unbelievable. Met up with John Armstrong the first day. Many of the Habitat folks were there from Hong Kong, from Eastern Europe, from the United States, from all over the Pacific. So each of the nine of the U.S. Habitat CEOs met up with someone that they were a patron of in another country or a partner with. And so I was so excited to meet up with John Armstrong, who is our Tucson partner. And just spend some quality time talking about Bangladesh while we were looking in Nepal. We toured several habitat sites where they were rebuilding, saw the devastation firsthand, and it is devastation. Although we saw a lot of temporary shelters that had been deployed, and I was pleased to see that food cultivation was happening all over the country, but shelter is still scarce.
3.5 million people. Let's repeat that.
3.5.
I mean, that's like a major, it's what, half the city of Phoenix, Tempe, Scottsdale, Mesa. I mean, it's hard to even imagine here in America, let alone at a place where supplies are in demand, where poverty is extremely high, disease, lack of access to clean water. Talk about it's rough to be poor. It really sucks when you get hit by a devastating earthquake that
Certainly.
Takes out 3.5 million people are homeless.
And in a country where 50,000 children a year die from the causes of internal air pollution. So if you think about that, internal air pollution, which means that they're dying from fumes from carbon monoxide or other things from just cooking inside. So that, you know, that's a devastating fact. So we were able to tour. We were able to see a lot of successes, see some of the projects that Habitat is helping with, see some of the projects that the government is working with. The government is offering funding for housing for all of the citizens. The issue is that in the poorest of populations, the most vulnerable of populations, the initial tranche or the initial release of money that was going to citizens, you get released funding for your housing in three separate tranches or three stages. You have to show that the first stage of your house is complete, and then they release the second stage and the third stage. And in the most vulnerable populations, what they're seeing, what Habitat staff is seeing, is that that money is being used for basic life-sustaining
issues. Stay alive.
Issues.
To Absolutely. Stay alive, to feed their kids, and
for basic shelter,
we have no
for basic
idea,
things.
No concept.
Which means if the first stage of their house is not completed, or if they don't have land tenure, then there's no ability to get the second or third distribution of that funding. So Habitat is coming in and in village settings, in specific villages, in some of the most vulnerable areas, they're working to help support completing that first section, getting the inspections so that people can move on to the second and third. And So we saw several very successful projects. And we have to remember that culturally, there are a lot of very vulnerable, the elderly, children, and widowed women, because widowed women don't belong in many aspects of their society.
Right.
If your husband was killed, you no longer own any property.
You have that no status whatsoever.
Family. Correct. So we saw several projects, and one that's really highlighted, I'd love to share some photographs for your website, was a program that was offering microloans to women and small loans in groups for things like to purchase a dairy cow. And then they could make products from the dairy milk, pay back the loan, borrow a little more money, and stage up and do things. And there were women there that, for example, purchased a sewing machine and then made products and onward until they could purchase wall systems for their house and pay back the money, and then purchase the next item and the next item. The interesting thing is that they're in cooperatives, and that allowed them two things.
Because they're women.
They're women.
I just had to throw that in.
Right.
And it's true, and it's proven with microlending. Women help each other.
Well, and in this case, in the cooperative, if you're unable to repay your loan, the other women in the cooperative are responsible for that loan.
Unbelievable.
So you help one another in hard times. So the other guarantors are voting, are you able to repay the loan or not? And they're supporting one another. So if you fall on hard times, you're doing that. And it was just exciting to see. We went in other places to villages where they're cooperatively building, one home at a time and then moving on to the next and the next. And then the temporary
shelters. In the meantime, I just have to ask you this. In the meantime, where do they live? In those temporary shelters?
There are temporary shelters that were deployed. Yes.
Yeah.
But a temporary shelter is a Quonset hut-looking thing, a domed shelter that's maybe 5 feet high and, we're talking 100 square feet and a family's basically keeping their possessions that have to stay dry in that and sleeping in it. And then the rest of the time they're living out of doors.
And I'm sure the clean water and the faucets and the toilets are just everywhere. That is very sarcastic.
Well,
it's
all of the plumbing is outside. It's, like you would see on an old television show here where you do the pump outside, the water's coming there. But let me just share a circumstance with you. And, we were in a village and we were visiting a home, probably 400 square feet. And the woman was just delightful and excited
to
show us her home.
That's like a luxury liner.
Yeah, well.
For 400 square feet from 100.
And bamboo. And they've always built in bamboo. And one of the technologies that Habitat's bringing to the table is treated bamboo, because there are termites and other infestations.
Right.
And once they treat the bamboo, then it's a longer-term building solution.
Right, a more durable structure.
And as they build initially with that, and then they can add different materials, just progressive housing. And we're all standing there, and this is a household where probably, like I said, maybe 600 square feet, and an elderly woman, and she has the clothes on her back and some linens put over a little bar in there, and very few kitchen items, little broom that she swept out, a dirt floor, but swept clean, hard packed and swept clean, a little cot that she sleeps on, maybe a chair, very few items, maybe 25 items to her name. And she goes up on the back of the hill, picks pears for us as we're standing there, pumps water, washes them, dries them with her apron, and has them in a basket and offers each of us.
You gotta be kidding me.
A pear from her orchard. Now, food is scarce for her. And we're there, with our trekking gear that we've all gotten at the latest, sporting store things.
That you had delivered, I know.
That we've arrived in a Range Rover and, we've come with security and she offers us each a pear. And it was the best pear I've ever eaten, and a smile and namaste. And it was delightful.
And so One of the things that Laura also asked me to talk to you about, and I would love you to share, is you were touched by the generosity of spirit. For me, sitting here and trying to imagine it is almost impossible. They have nothing.
They have nothing.
They didn't have much to begin with, even before an earthquake. Let's be honest. It's a very, very impoverished country. So they have nothing. And I have like six questions behind this. I'd like you to talk about their generosity of spirit. And then, let's not forget, I want to know who else is helping. How is the global community responding? And how can people help? That's secondary, you know, not secondary, but you know what I mean? I want to know what's real there and who's helping. It's so massive.
Sure. Well, you know, we'd get off the bus to visit these villages to see the work, and there would be people lined up in, you know, almost like you're coming out of a wedding reception. They'd be there to receive us with flowers picked from the local area, a bindi on our forehead, applauding. Namaste, we all know, you know,
right.
Greeting. Namastat, we had never heard. It's reserved for an elder or an elected official or a royalty.
Right.
But the namastat, young, we were in one village, this young woman came running up, pretty woman, may I walk you to my village? You know, holding your hand, smiles. The school children, one of our colleagues was being interviewed for a documentary. School children just crawling all over him and wanting to sit on his
they
lap.
They love the camera.
They want a selfie. Could you take a selfie with me? Just the joy. Overwhelming joy everywhere we were. You know, we found at the temples that the more you're with people, the more you're around the world, the more different it is, the more you see the same. You know, there was a feast day a celebration of one of the Hindu gods, and this little band came by with kazoos and little instruments I'd never seen before.
Right.
And I was raised Roman Catholic, and I thought, this couldn't be closer to a saint day. You know, people walking by with their thing.
Then
I had seen in a small town in southern Arizona my entire life. And I had no idea what the goddess was they were celebrating.
Right.
But it was no different than the Knights of Columbus coming by, you know. And I filmed it and I thought, the more different we are, the more the same we all are. The generosity. What little they could glean and take, chopping the bamboo into very fine strings and wrapping it around leaves from the forest so they could pin something on us as a corsage. Taking what they had and creating something just beautiful
from
for
almost
us.
Nothing.
Out of nothing.
Yeah.
Or dancing
yeah.
for us.
Yeah.
Their creativity to provide something special was just unbelievable. You don't have to have to give.
And that we should pull that out. You don't have to give. And it's that giving from the heart that means so much more than writing a big check if you're wealthy. I mean, they're both equally as important, but the meaning behind it. I remember when I interviewed John, I said to him, John, in Arizona, in the United States of America, still, Habitat for Humanity is supported by corporate donations, private donors, mega volunteers, right? What do you do in Bangladesh? And he told us a lot about that. So in Nepal, where there is such need, you don't have a bunch of Nepalese people volunteering and giving money. And it's not that. I'm sure there's a great divide where there are very, very rich, even not as much as in Bangladesh. But what in God's name are they doing to get help there? And who's helping?
Well, that's our job, to come back to the U.S. and say, they need help. And so at Habitat Tucson, we're continuing to support Bangladesh. Our longtime commitment to Bangladesh has
so
not
much.
Waived.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's up to me to figure out how to get some money to Nepal. I'd love to have some dinner parties at my house, share my Nepal story. And
count me in, only if you have patience. Brewster accoutrements and decorations on the table.
And ask people to make a donation to to Nepal over and above what we're sharing with Bangladesh.
That's a great idea. And I will tell you, in this 10 years of doing what we're doing, we're actually in our 11th year, the thing that I love the most and the thing that I'm finding our listeners love the most, I as a human being love the most, are stories. People want to hear stories. They don't want to hear lectures. They want to hear sharing. They want to be able to share. So the idea of dinner parties where you get to tell your story.
And share the pictures.
And share the pictures and people see it. So that's one way. I know that you believe that everyone deserves a safe and decent place to live. And you also believe that everyone can do something to help make that possible. So we have all the links. Kelly always says to me, you don't have to give the links out during the show because a lot of people are busy. They're yes. driving, whatever. On our website, we have tremendous show notes, which she does. There'll be a link to HabitatTucson.org. And I'm just really excited, and I want to see the pictures, and I'm serious about being invited to a dinner party. Very serious. It would be something that I could then share. And thanks for all you do and your team and all they do, because it's transforming our community. It's building a stronger, safer, healthier community right here. And then we get to have the global reach. It's part of what I love about Rotary. And I know Rotary is doing tremendous things around the world in this same area. So my last word is always the same theme. We're committed to raising awareness about every aspect of climate change imaginable. And whether this is the first podcast you've listened to or not, you know that we believe that mitigating the progression of climate change is what we are about. It is the biggest threat our world has ever faced. Trust me. So social justice and a world that works for everyone is arguably one of the biggest issues we are facing and will face in the weeks and months and years to come. And T. Van Hook and her team and all of the Habitat for Humanity in the United States and globally are addressing the very pressing social justice issues. So everyone, it is as we speak, as you are listening to this, December 20th, and we will be enjoying the holidays with our families for the next week. But please be sure to join us in 2019 for our first podcast in January 8th. It's Xavier Ramey, Justice Informed, Creating Human-Centered Paradigms. He will knock your green socks off, trust me. Okay, everybody, T. Van Hook, thanks for being a part of our world. And thanks, everybody, that you represent for all they do to make a difference for all of us.
Thank you.